Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. A congregation member asked me this week, what is the Lord's Supper? It's a great question. And today, just as we do every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So welcome to the celebration and happy Mother's Day. The Lord's Supper is a reminder, both to Christians and to unbelievers alike, of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for all of his creatures in the past. It's a symbol of a believer in Christ's present relationship with the Lord, and it's a promise of what the Lord is willing to do for all of his creatures in the future. The first Lord's Supper occurred on the evening when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed before his crucifixion. This supper with the apostles was part of that year's Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is also known in the Jewish community as Passover. In Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 18, it says this, "When the hour had come, the Lord Jesus Christ reclined at the table, and the apostles reclined with him. And the Lord said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer on the cross. For I say to you, I shall never again eat this Passover until all that it means is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when the Lord had taken a cup of wine and given thanks, he said this, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes.'" So our Lord's Supper celebration every month is a reenactment of the first Lord's Supper. And it's a time for reflection on our amazing relationship with our amazing God. We express our gratitude to him for giving us the gift of his death on the cross. The bread and the wine, which is called the fruit of the vine, were used in the first Lord's Supper celebration. And bread and wine are also used in ancient time as part of the celebration of every meal. In the Lord's Supper celebration, the bread symbolizes his body, the wine symbolizes his blood, and together they symbolize the beginning of a new covenant with the world, which would begin with the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross. In the Lord's Supper celebration, we reflect on the past when we bring the cross to our remembrance. And we don't cry tears of pain as we look at the cross as if we're remembering a funeral. We cry tears of joy because the Lord shed his blood for us as a gift so that we could be saved. By dying on a cross, the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death once and for all time, and he shares the victory with each of his believers. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 and 9 say this, "Now if we believers in Christ have died with Christ, and we have, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, having been resurrected from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is a master over him." Death is no longer a master over him, and death is no longer a master over us. Well, in the Lord's Supper celebration, we reflect on the present as well. As we eat the bread and we drink of the fruit of the vine, we remember our present relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your present relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? You have fellowship with him. You're in union with him. You're in communion with him. That's why we often call this service the communion service. John chapter 6, verses 54 to 56 say this, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life," the resurrection life. "And I will raise him up in resurrection from the dead on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in union with me, and I in union with him." In the present, we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is our God, our life, and our spiritual food. And in the Lord's Supper celebration, we reflect on a certain future. The Lord has made precious and magnificent promises to us, and with absolute confidence, we wait for the promises to come to fruition. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 says this, "Then the Lord said to me, John, write, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. As believers in Christ, in the future, we are invited to the greatest celebration in human history, and we look forward to it with great anticipation. He is the groom, and we, as church-age believers, are his bride. And we will celebrate at the wedding feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb. Well, it's easy to turn a tradition into a meaningless ceremony. But when we ask questions, like our congregation member did, what is the Lord's Supper? We can revisit and revive the meaning of this fabulous celebration that the Lord Jesus Christ initiated for us. And we must never let a celebration that is so full of life become lifeless for us. So welcome to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The opening song is Drops in the Ocean by Hawk Nelson.
I want you as you are, not as you ought to be. Won't you lay down your guard and come to me? The shame that grips you now is crippling. It breaks my heart to see you suffering. 'Cause I am for you, I'm not against you. If you want, don't think you need to settle for a substitute when I'm the only love that changes you. And I am for you, I'm not against you. I am for you, I'm not against you. If you want,
let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege and the opportunity of studying the Word of God, the absolute truth, and we thank you for giving us the gift of faith. Thanks for strengthening our understanding of what faith really is as we grow by means of grace and the knowledge of you and your Son. Thank you for placing us in a sphere of faith and hope and love and grace so that we can become everything you intended for us to be in eternity past. And thank you for allowing mothers to be a symbol of your unconditional love. Help us, Father, to inspire others with our faith, especially those experiencing the bleakest of circumstances. Help us to inspire others with our unconditional love. Help us to live the life you intended and to enjoy that life to the fullest. Help us to relax with faith, knowing that you are our rock and our strength and our ever-present help in times of trouble. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, do you have faith in the cross? Do you have faith in the cross? What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now faith is the assurance that you already have the things you hope for. Faith is the conviction that you already have the things that you have not seen. Listen to that. Faith is the assurance that you already have the things you hope for. Faith is the conviction that you already have the things you have not yet seen. When you have faith, you could say merely, I accept, like at salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes, and you say, I accept that. You could say, faith is merely, I believe. And you could have the same response to Acts 16:31. I believe that. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You could say faith is merely I trust. And so you could respond the same way to Acts 16:31 when you say, I trust that what Acts 16:31 says is true. I accept, I believe, I trust, and you'll be saved. But when you really understand what faith is, you realize that I is not the key to faith. Faith is only as good as the one in whom you place your faith. Faith is only as good as the one in whom you place your confidence. And when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what you are really saying is, I already know that I have what I'm asking for because you put it in place for me a billion years ago, Lord. And even though you have not revealed it to me yet, I know what I am asking for will show up in due time. Now, faith is the assurance that you already have the things you hope for. Faith is the conviction that you already have the things you have not seen. When my friend told me recently that he had cancer in one of his kidneys, I told him, don't worry. I'll pray for you. And God has already answered my prayer before I have prayed it. Or at least that's what I wish I had said. It's certainly what I meant. I knew that God would handle the situation and bring a victory, and he did. When we look at faith this way, it gives new meaning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, which says, we walk by faith, not by sight. When we walk by faith, we walk knowing with absolute confidence that we already have everything we want, and that we don't have to see it to believe it. Do you have faith in the cross? When you look at that cross and you see that cross, do you have faith in the cross? Do you have faith in what happened there? Do you have faith in who hung there? This is the subject of today's Lord's Supper celebration. But first, a few announcements. Reminder to check in on Facebook before church service. And I appreciate those of you who have been doing that. Like Barah Ministries on Facebook. Over 3,200 people have signed up to be a part of our online community. Get your friends to join our online community today. Our next 10-minute lesson we'll post to our Facebook community tomorrow. Bring your friends to the Barah Ministries Facebook page today and bring them to these lessons. They're fantastic. Prayers go out to the family of Sergeant Greg Moore of the Coeur d'Alene Police Department, who was killed in the line of duty on May 5th, 2015. And prayers are requested for the family and friends of the sergeant, who was a 16-year veteran of the Coeur d'Alene Police Department. He gave his life in the line of duty when he stopped a suspicious male at approximately 1:30 a.m. in the area in an area of with recent break-ins, and Sergeant Moore died of his wounds at about 6 o'clock the same day. The town of Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls, Idaho, have been deeply touched by this tragedy, especially our congregation members John and Monica Miller. Please pray for those affected by these events. John Miller's daughter Nicole attended high school with Sergeant Moore at Lake City High School in Coeur d'Alene, and he was a personal friend to Nicole. So our prayers, the prayers of all of Barah Ministries and its pastor, go out to the family. The Barah Ministries app is ready for download, and it's easy to download. I did it for iPhone this morning. You go to the App Store, you type in Barah Ministries, and it downloads, and you'll know it's downloaded because you will have a picture of me on your phone. Now, for the Android, yeah, isn't that cool? Go ahead, you can clap if you want to. And if you have the Android standard, I imagine it works the same way. Have you downloaded it, Denny? Google Play and download. There you go. So thanks to Brian Davis of our non-resident congregation for making this possible. It is really cool. Yeah, Brian's getting a hand. So, yeah, I'll just show you this real quick. It's kind of cool. Where is it? Oh, there's my face. Right, so when you go into it, you know, there are little things on the bottom. And so I should probably put on my glasses so I can read. So on the first page it says, current study, give God another chance, and God cares for you, the radio broadcast. So it's got our lessons like this. It's got our 10-minute lessons access, and it's got our radio broadcast access. When you hit the second thing, it's, oh, look at that. It's got all of June's music, her albums. You Ran After Me. Oh, I don't clap about that. Come on. Why didn't you clap when it was the other thing, when they were talking about what the pastor was putting up? Now the music person put something up, and now y'all are clapping. That's just wrong. But her four albums pop up. You Ran After Me, You Own Me, Calling You to Freedom, Come See a Man. You hit You Ran After Me, and, you know, it's got 10 songs. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Yes, it's cool. All right, you guys are patronizing me right now. I don't like that. And then it's got, on the third page where it says more, it's got the access to the website, it's got the map, and it's got access to our Facebook page, which is cool. And then it's got a place for events, and in there, the 2015 Barah Ministries Northern Idaho Conference, August 7th. And then it's got a Bible. And it's got a reading plan and a Bible. Larry, I thought we were going to get the Bible switched over to the other side. Are we going to do that? Oh, you can't do it? Oh, man. Okay. So that's it. So isn't that cool? And if I could, yeah, go ahead. You can clap about that. There's my little face. You see that with my new headshot? It's awesome. I think that's very cool. So you can access, you can have Barah Ministries in your pocket, which is tremendous. Norbert, you don't have a smartphone yet, do you?
I'm working on getting one.
There you go. There's your excuse to get one. You got an app. You can do everything right there in that phone. It's an awesome thing. Now, you don't have a lot of time. You can't be messing around here, right? You're an octogenarian. You can't be messing around with this.
Octogenarians are free of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. He said octogenarians are free of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, he has. And I'm trying to get him to go back to slavery with the rest of us. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I don't blame you. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face teaching on July 5th, so enjoy that day off. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper after today is June 14th, 2015, second Sunday in June. And mark your calendars. The deacon meeting has been moved from next week to the 23rd, so that good for you too, Larry? Okay, good. Mark your calendars. The Coeur d'Alene Conference of Barah Ministries in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is August 7th and 8th, 2015. We're back on the radio at KXEG, 1280 a.m., 9:30 a.m. on Sundays, 9:30 to 10, and we are now also in their broadcast library. So when you go to the website, which is, I think, 1280 KXEG, you click on Broadcast Library, and then it says what ministry, and you look and you'll find Pastor Rory Clark, and then you'll see something for the last 60 days and the lessons will pop up. They're also on our website. And we're covering Romans chapter 1 right now. So, and by the way, thank you to the non-resident congregation for coming through again and offering financial support that is also going to help us with that radio program. So thank you. We got a birthday coming up, Emily Goodall, on May 23rd. We also got William's birthday coming up on May 18th, so we'll have to put that in next week. He'll be 1 year old. Can you even believe that? Little Will Goodall. Some good news that we got yesterday. Did I miss one? No, it's next. So this is good news. This is Alyssa Lopez. Alyssa Lopez is graduating from Mesquite High School on May 20th. Isn't that awesome? So that's a week from this coming Wednesday, and it's at Wells Fargo Arena. So there's plenty of seats. So if you want to come, please do. And, you know, as hard as it is for us to do this, we are accepting contributions to her scholarship fund for college. And, you know, we will bite the bullet and take one for the team if you want to make some contributions in that regard. I'm not kidding. Why are you laughing? And congratulations to Joel and Deanna Perkoski. We're pregnant. They didn't waste any time, huh? So they called me yesterday and said, left me a message, we got some news for you. And I said, all right, I know what the news is. So I call over, we're pregnant. Oh, I said, ew, I know how that happened, ew. So I was just being a little legalistic, don't you? Yeah, no, actually married people are supposed to, you know. So that's cool.
Where are they from?
They are from Pennsylvania. So, and as a matter of fact, in September, if we can get Joel to get off of his hindquarters, we're trying to get a conference set up out there in Pennsylvania. Yeah, we've got quite a few non-resident congregation members in Pennsylvania. But Joel is slower than a seven-year itch in getting that all set up. So maybe this public outing will be the incentive that he needs to get it going. So that's it. Let's now take the offering. Quite a few announcements, huh? Let's take the offering. This is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world that can't afford to pay to study the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge, by means of the internet and by means of face-to-face teaching. And let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture. I'm so excited because Alyssa is going to have a job this summer, and I can't wait to see that 10% of her income coming into Barah Ministries. It's going to be so awesome to watch her hand that in with alligator arms. As Denny goes around, she'll be kind of doing like that. Each one of us must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a grace-oriented giver in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourselves and for others. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And recently I was driving down, I think it was the 10, and I saw a billboard that said Arizona has its first zip line put up in town. So I know Pastor would be excited to head out there, zip line all over the canyons and all that stuff. So it made me think of a story. I you know, Pastor mentioned that he'd been zip lining recently. I think it was Mexico. And I actually got the chance to zip line with Pastor in Costa Rica. And, you know, when you go on one of those little adventures, all the fears rush to your head, the thoughts of falling, or, you know, that movie still where the cables are snapping and it's one left and it's bing, bing, you know, and you just got that one left. And, you know, all those things you worry about. And what ended up happening is, as we were setting up, you put the harness on, you get it all wrapped around, you make sure you got it all right, you're doing it yourself, and you grab your helmet and put it on. And when we were putting Emily's helmet on, we noticed there was a huge wolf spider in the helmet, nestled in the cushions. And how many of the people checked their helmets? Probably nobody except for us. Hey, happened to see it. We're like, oh, get out of there, get a different helmet. So, you know, you think about it, everybody was worried about all the usual things that they had thought of, but they didn't think about the spider in the helmet. And it just made me think about how so much of the time we miss the point of what's going on. It's like all those people in churches today that are having communion and think they're arriving to church to help themselves. You know, they're going to church to better themselves, and it's not God doing it. It's just like going across a zip line. We're not doing it. He's suspending us all the way across. And, you know, you think about a church, you know, it's easy for us to focus so much on maybe people that have left here, rather than focusing on who's here, both resident and non-resident. It's easy to forget about the non-resident guys because they're not here face-to-face, but they're here in spirit. They're right now, they're on their computers watching and listening. And, you know, without their support, we wouldn't be nearly where we are today. So I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful for you guys and mothers today. You know, mothers are able to stay focused and not lose focus and miss the point with their kids. You know, their kids, there's often times where, you know, maybe the parents want to run away from the kids because they're just sick of them. But they don't. They stay focused on what's important, and they help their kids. They always use the time in a profitable manner to help them grow in their lives. And it made me think of Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on flesh is death, but the mindset on spirit is life and peace. So you think, you know, a lot of times it's easy to miss the point and focus on flesh and try to better yourself. But that's not the point. The point is just letting God do it. Put your faith in God and let him handle it. And that's what we've done with this church. We've put our faith in God, and he's handled it all the way up to this beautiful church we have. And, you know, this is still just the beginning, because he always saves the best for last. So thank you very much.
That's where I am strong, in your presence. Oh Lord, my God, in your presence, that's where I belong, seeking your face. Touching your grace in the cleft of the rock. Ooh. In your presence, oh God, I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow me. In the cleft of the rock.
touching your grace, Lord, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, oh God, it's where we long to be, where we long to live.
The Lord's Supper celebration, do you have faith in the cross? Do you have faith in the cross? The open of this lesson was so powerful that it's worth repeating. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance that you already have the things you hope for. Faith is the conviction that you already have the things you have not seen. Have you ever looked at faith that way? Have you ever looked at faith as I know that I already have it? No, we don't look at it that way. When you have faith, you could say, I accept, I believe, I trust. But when you really understand faith, you realize that I is not the key to faith. The key to faith is who you put your confidence in. Think about, you know, in relationships when you put your confidence in the other person. I guarantee that's a prescription for being disappointed and hurt, because people disappoint and hurt. But if you place your confidence in the one in whom you need to have confidence, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, you're really saying, I already know that I have what I'm asking for because you put it in place for me 1 billion years ago, Lord. And even though you have not revealed it to me yet, I know that what I'm asking for will show up in due time. I know that the fact that I ask to get in a relationship means that I am in a relationship with a human being, and they will disappoint me, and they will hurt me, but you will provide the way of escape, that you will provide for me the things I need to get over the situation. Now, I may not choose to exercise the escape hatch that you gave me. I may choose instead to go back into the situation and hurt myself again. I may choose to pick at an already healed scab and pull it off again and hurt again. I may choose to get myself back in the same situation because I go about the new situation in the same way that I did in the old situations where I got myself into the jam in the first place. And even though going about it that way got me in trouble, I'm going to think, you know, this time it's going to be different. Yeah, no, it's not. This time it's going to be worse. It's not going to be different. The outcome's not going to change. You're just going to get hurt a lot harder because your way is no way. God's way, the only way. Make your request known to God, and the God of peace, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. God will give you the desires of your heart. Do you have faith in that? Do you have faith that you already have exactly what you want already? Because, see, God's not working as we go along. God already put everything in place for you. Do you have confidence that Deacon Denny said, oh, God's always saving the best for last. Do you have any confidence? Do you have faith in that, what he said? I do. Do you? Because it's true. So when my friend told me he had cancer in one of his kidneys, I told him, don't worry, I'll pray for you. And God has already answered my prayer before I prayed it. He had. You can always tell. I remember when I first heard about Norbert's cancer in his kidney, and it was captured in a capsule. I knew what that meant. I knew what that meant. Norbert didn't do that. Norbert didn't contain it in a capsule. The Lord did. I already knew. I love that. God handles every situation. God brings us the victory. But do we have faith? Do we have the faith of 2 Corinthians chapter 5? We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by knowing that we already have what we want. Before we even ask, we already have it. Do you walk like that? When we walk by faith, we walk knowing with absolute confidence that we already have everything and that we don't have to see it to believe it. Do you have faith in the cross? Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says this. The Lord said to his apostles, because of the littleness of your faith, you couldn't drive out the demon. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, which becomes the largest of plants, you will say to this mountain, any obstacle, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. What are the obstacles in your life? When you think about your life's toughest challenges, do you have an attitude in yourself like this? I am asking you, Lord, for this. And I already know that I have what I'm asking for because you put it in place for me a billion years ago. And even though you have not revealed it to me yet, I know it will show up in due time. Do you have that? We don't. We don't. Here's what we have. I know I'm going to tell you what I want because you said you'll give me the desires of my heart. And then now that I have sounded it out to you, I'm going to go get it for myself. That's what we mean. That's not faith. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6 say this. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. What's dumb about that? What's dumb about that? In light of this verse, the Lord said to the apostles, because of the littleness of your faith, you couldn't drive out the demon. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move. And it'll move and nothing will be impossible to you. So what's dumb about this? The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What's dumb about that? We don't need any more faith. We needed faith the size of a mustard seed. We don't need an increase in faith. Luke 17, 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, if you just had a little faith, you'd say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And I was thinking, that's really true because the apostles had the ability to do miracles. They could have actually said to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would have gone. See the mulberry tree running? Gotta be cool. Faith is something that God has given us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you believers in Christ have been saved through faith. And that faith and that grace and that salvation is not of yourselves. It's not something that you manufacture. You don't manufacture grace or faith or salvation. It's the free gift from God the Father, not as a result of your self-righteous works, so that no one may boast. For we believers in Christ are God the Father's workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus for good works, which God the Father prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Faith is something that we have to choose to use in the midst of our human circumstances. Take a 5-minute break.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the whole. Thank you.
all come back. Let's take our seats here in the resident congregation. And in the non-resident congregation, I don't know whether you do this or not, but when it comes time to celebrate the Lord's Supper, I think you ought to have a little bread, a little wine, and celebrate the Lord's Supper with us as we do here. We have bread and fruit juice, so if you need to have fruit juice, have fruit juice, but we have it. So let's enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper celebration. So following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice he made on the cross, at the cross on our behalf, and we're grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after the Passover supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration as often as you drink it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as you enjoy the cup and as you enjoy the bread, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, as the Lord's Supper celebration reminds us, let us give thanks to our God. Lord's Supper celebration, do you have faith in the cross? So what I'd have you remember from this Lord's Supper celebration is that when you have faith, you already know that because of who you place your confidence in, that you already have what you want. That you're not just requesting it, you're acknowledging that you know that you already have it. So do you have faith in the cross? I'd like to close this celebration with a story from the Associated Press about a famous person who has faith. On the night this year's New York Mets tried to top the 1986 Mets team for the best start in franchise history, the star slugger from that era, Darryl Strawberry, was again going deep, but this time he was taking a swing for the Lord. The former World Series champion takes road trips these days as a pastor, not to revisit tales of his baseball exploits, but that helped to make him, at one time, one of the game's most highest paid players and an 8-time All-Star, but to chronicle a story of how faith and a strong woman saved his life. Strawberry has largely stripped himself of the past, with the only reminder of his former profession shining through in testimonials about the temptations that derailed his career and nearly took his life. He says, "I was a liar, I was a cheater, I was a womanizer, I was an alcoholic, I was a drug addict, and I was a sinner." Strawberry chose to reject the habits that derailed his career for a renewed life as a pastor. "I told you." They always put the worst people up front. He is now a pastor, a husband, and a counselor to those who have faced the same demons he faced for most of his adulthood. The 53-year-old Strawberry has little interest in discussing the moonshot home runs he hit that sailed high and far into many of those Shea Stadium nights. Strawberry ignores baseball. "It's not on my radar," Strawberry says. "I don't follow baseball. I follow Jesus now." Darryl Strawberry is known more for his personal feelings than for the stats that shaped him into the one of the game's elite players of the 1980s. He was a cocaine addict. He was arrested for crimes ranging from soliciting a prostitute to domestic violence. He was indicted on federal tax evasion charges. He was charged with failing to make child support payments. He was suspended from baseball, and he was diagnosed with colon cancer. Strawberry was a mess, and it was really funny at the time because every time he seemed to come back, he would break down again. How did I, the great Darryl Strawberry, 4-time World Series champ, possessor of millions of dollars, end up as number T17169 in a Florida state prison? Strawberry asked his congregation. It was a lack of faith. "My story is a message from God." Strawberry said, "God called me and I answered. My faith is in him, not in me. And it works." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. "We believers in Christ have become partakers of Christ. If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence through our faith in Christ, standing firm to the end." And those of you of systematics theology fame will recognize the Greek word hypostasis, which is a description of Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, that the God and the man in one person forever. And so when we talk about confidence, that's where the source of our confidence comes from, that we as believers in Christ are man and we are united in union with God one time and forever. We believers in Christ have become partakers in Christ. If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, our initial faith in Christ, standing firm until the end, standing firm in the faith, our confidence comes from the fact that God has already given us everything we want or need. And we just have to appropriate it. And I think that's what real faith is. I guess the analogy would be this. How many times have you complained about not having any money when your bank account is always full? How many times have you worried about something happening and everything was in place for it to happen? That happens all the time because we love gnawing on our knuckles. We love biting our fingernails. But as Christians, we don't have to because God has already provided everything we need. We just didn't realize it. And when we stop flailing, when we stop trying to do everything ourselves and realize that if we go to Him and say, "This is what I want," it's already been done. And so you just have to wait until he orchestrates the perfect timing for it to come into your life. You don't have to do the work. And when you do the work, you're messing things up. You're not helping. Our confidence comes from the fact that God has already given us everything we want or need. Our job is to simply enjoy. Have faith, real faith. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are guarantees, and here are some of the guarantees. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life, and he does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. Instead, the wrath of God the Father, the lake of fire, abides on him. Closing song. June Murphy, You Ran After Me.
Dark, there is no doubt. Jesus, light of the world, eternal truth, Savior, you pursued and let me choose. You went after me. You went after me. Sought me for. Hoping for your cross opened up salvation's door. Jesus, you are everything I need. I'm yours. I will follow where you lead. You
cut from June Murphy's fourth album, You Ran After Me. WGOD. That's an awesome song. That's exactly what happened. You know, thank God that that happened, that he ran after us, because we sure wouldn't have chased him, huh? Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we just thank you for everything you do for us, that you're so thorough, that you gave us your Son, you gave us so great salvation, you gave us the Word to direct us, you gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us. We just appreciate what you've done for us, and we just ask that you help us to continually, on a day-by-day basis, as we renew our minds, to let go of the reins and just let you run the ship, because you know what you're doing. And we just pray that we spread that word among the brethren to just relax, to cease striving, and to know that you are God. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that reflect you accurately. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.